experts are back. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we have with us as a returning guest on the line, Dane Gusson, who is a wildlife photojournalist. Welcome back to the show, Dane.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to talk to you guys again.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Dane, when we talked with you the last time, if I remember correctly, you had done quite a bit of outdoor photography, and it was on display in one of the area hospitals in Metro Detroit. Anything new and exciting like that going on?
Well, I've been shooting stuff outside, but it's, you know, nature stuff, and I've been shooting actually video and photos, and it's large bucks out in the woods with me, 20, 30 at a time, and it's fun.
Well, I've also noticed you've done quite a few bird shots and other things like that. It's got to be so difficult to actually find the animals that you're trying to shoot. How do you go about doing that?
Being patient. Honestly, it's not as easy sometimes as it looks, because you're shooting at, number one, a really high speed to stop them in mid-flight. So you can't do it handheld. You can, but it's next impossible. So you have to find a location. By doing that, it's, you know, out hiking either in the woods or knowing a good spot or setting up a bird feeder and cheating, which I've done.
And I would imagine, you know, I'm just thinking of individuals and their passions, whether it's fishing, hunting, or whatnot. For those that enjoy fishing, for instance, it's not the pulling the fish out of the water, but it's the opportunity to kind of just be with nature. And maybe comment a little bit about that. Is that what really drives you to the forest, or is
it? I'll tell you something very funny about what you just said. I grew up as a young child out in the lake. And the first pictures I took were people holding fish, whether it was my brother, my dad, my grandfather. So probably the first nature pictures I took were fish out at the lake I grew up out as a child, which was Woodhall Lake, where we'd move in the summer. And it was, you know, animals out there that you would see. And nature's different because you never know what's going to happen. You know, and like you said, fishing, it's unpredictable. But, you know, nature photos, anything like that, you have to have a passion for. You just can't go out and take pictures.
Right, right. It's just like good fishing. You know, if you don't know how to do it, you know, it's just an exercise. But once you start realizing what to do and how to do it, then the angle, if you will, you know, all of a sudden you become a rather accomplished one, and it's a matter of understanding fish in your case.
You don't hear those famous two words, what fish? No, you're right. Once you learn to fish, you learn how to hook them and get them in the boat.
Right, and same way in photography, I assume? You know,
right. I mean, you know, you learn more from your mistakes of pictures that come out terrible that you thought were good than the ones that, wow, I got it. You know, because you have to make a few mistakes before you learn how to do it right.
So map out, if I was a young person, let's say a 15-year-old boy or girl that's thinking about the passion of wildlife photography, what path would they be on to become accomplished, to be successful?
To be real honest, I would probably point them to the local zoo to learn, number one, how to shoot animals.
Right.
In a setting that's non-hostile environment, mm-hmm. where you can control what's going on around you versus being, as I call it, and this could sound weird, but when I'm up in the rainforest of Central America or I'm up anywhere, I'm in their backyard, and I treat them with respect as I would if I was in your backyard and I wanted to get in and meet you. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, you just go to the zoo, learn how to shoot animals, learn how to focus. Then find a nature trail somewhere where you live, whether it's in Michigan, like one of the metro parks or something like that, Kensington, or, you know, somewhere local, and start going out and becoming one with nature. Just walk slow and listen to what's going on around you. Don't wear a headset.
How many classes would you say that person would have taken by the time he's accomplished? Photography classes.
I know. I'm trying to think how many I've taken, hundreds. You got to go out and do it. You can take a class. You can take as many classes as you want, but you have to go out and shoot. There's no shortcut for shooting. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've taken classes, and then I go out and I practice what I've learned, or I talk to other photographers, and I steal what I can and practice what I learn. You know, but, I mean, it's all about learning experiences, whether it's a class, a person, a mentor, but then going out and doing it, not just leaving it in your brain. Right. Going out and trying it, stepping over the edge.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Dane, one of the things that really has changed and opened up a lot of opportunities for people, about 10, 20 years ago, if you took great nature photography, if you were fortunate enough, it might appear in a National Geographic magazine or something like that, or in a newspaper. But now with the internet and with Facebook, it has allowed essentially everyone to publish their materials. How has that changed and expanded the interest in nature photography?
It's allowed a lot of people to put up photos that really are terrible. I mean, there are some photographers you look at, you go, wow. You just, you know, just set you back at what a great photo. But a lot of it is just garbage. I hate to be honest and be blunt. And I have people send me photos all the time asking me to look at them, and I look at them. I tell them they're nice, and I send them back because my standard and someone else's standards are totally different standards.
Mm-hmm.
I find that the internet has made everyone a blogger or, you know, whatever you want to call them. But, I mean, there's a difference between a good blogger and a bad blogger. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with photography. There are good photographers and there's bad ones. Some you look at, some you gloss over. There's nothing worse than looking at a bad photo. And we've all seen a lot of them, and you wonder why they put them on there. So, I mean, it's made it accessible. For people like me, it's made it very accessible. So instead of holding up a photo in front of a person, I can hold it up in front of the world.
Well, so it has helped you, but at the same time, there's a lot of artwork out there. Does the artwork that is kind of like bottom barrel, does it actually seem to get more credit than it deserves, or is it seen for what it is?
Well, again, you know, it's like people say to me all the time, oh, you should go in and go in this contest. I mean, you know what? Because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just means it's not something that I appreciate. Some people like, you know, hip-hop music. I happen to like rock and roll, you know, but I mean, I'm not saying hip hop's not, it's just, you know, it's different perspectives. So to say, like when I say bad, I'm talking out of focus or just
okay.
Needs to be cropped. Just something, you know what? Fine tune it. Just don't throw it up there because you took a photo of it. You think
good
it looks
points.
Nice.
Very good point.
Right. Technical quality does matter. Dane, let me ask you this. We only have a couple of minutes left, but one of the things I'm interested in is some of the more nocturnal animals, some of the owls and things like that. How do you go about capturing things like that when you've got issues like no light or other things like that? Explain to me the process that you go through to capture those types of animals.
What you have to do is, number one, have the location. And you have to, you know, scope it out. And if you can get there as a sun setting, you know, the hour, that golden hour before the sun sets or it rises, and get it, that's wonderful. The odds are that's not going to happen. You have to shoot, you know, like a 2.8 or very, you know, you just have, yeah. Or for a long time, because, I mean, you have to get as much light as you can. So, I mean, if you open the lens up for half a second, you know, go for it. I mean, you just, you try different things. You may take 20 shots. In other words, what I'm saying is you never know. It's, you know, it's trial and error. And when stuff like that happens, you just think on your feet. It's from messing it up enough times that you don't even think about it. Probably when I'm stalling, it's second nature how I do it, because I don't really think about it.
Right.
I just switch the knobs on my camera to 2.8, or I shoot like at a 2,000 speed or 3,000. Or it depends on the situation. But you have to, number one, focus. If it's not focused, if you're not using a monopod, it's not going to come out well.
Interesting. And Dane, if people are interested in seeing some of your work, where would they go to see it, either video or the photography?
Well, I have a website. Well, you could just Google my name, Dane Gusson, or that's the quickest way to find it. And I've got a website. I've got a YouTube with documentaries I've shot, with video I've shot, which is available. I've got like 120 projects on there that the public can see.
Can you spell out your website then?
Just Google Dane Gusson, D-A-N-E, G like in George, U-S-S-I-N. Just put my name in Google, or Dane's World, D-A-N-E-S-W-O-R-L-D. That's my company, Dane's World. And it'll get you to my, you know, website. You don't need to sit and put down www.
Right.
Anything.
Well, I would definitely recommend going there because, Dane, you are an amazing photographer. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your words. That's very kind of you.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And, Rick, once again, our usual problem has occurred. We have just run out of time. So on behalf of our producer, Mark Price, and my co-host in the studio, Rick Cruz, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend and a great week ahead. We'll talk with you again next weekend on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show here on 1320 AM. And please, please take good care of your pets. Have a great weekend, everybody.